Together is our title today. Acts 2:42 to 47 is our text. Christ is risen. He is. We're glad to be celebrating that here in this Easter season. It's wonderful, and especially this time of year. We celebrate it all year long. That's what makes a difference for us in our lives, right? But we like to celebrate it especially during this Easter season. In the Easter season especially, we think about living in the reality of Jesus' resurrection. What does that mean for us? At the beginning of Acts, we're closer to the beginning. We've had some texts from Acts so far now after Easter. Now we're at the earliest ones that we've had so far. So far in the beginning of Acts, we've had some things leading up, just Jesus' ascension back into heaven. The apostles and the other followers are waiting there for the promised Holy Spirit. We have the day of Pentecost. Peter's first sermon preached after that, inspired by the Holy Spirit, guiding him. 3,000 people added to the number of believers that day. Maybe 400 or 500 that had been believers earlier than that. Before giving more accounts of what things were happening in those early days after Pentecost, when people were coming to hear the message about Jesus and being saved and brought to repentance and forgiveness of sins, Luke gives a little bit of a summary of what those days were like in Jerusalem, as that's where really those who knew about Jesus and were believing and trusting on him were concentrated in that location before things started to spread out. And we might see a little bit of a contrast leading up to that with Jesus' ministry. Jesus had some followers, and they started to get more and more. He had those 12 that were really close. There were others that were hearing his teaching and taking part, following him. There were sometimes large crowds around him, but we note as we go through the story of Jesus' life that they were there for the kinds of things that they could get. Many of them were there for healing, for miracles, things like that. They also heard some of Jesus' teaching, and some of them were starting to believe in what he was teaching. There was also some of the teaching that was hard, and there was division with the religious leaders. There was also some of those that heard that followed Jesus, but then they heard some of the things that he was teaching, and they said, you know, this is a little too hard for me. I like the miracles, but I think this is too much. It's too much for me to hear this change and a different way of thinking about life. And then we find that Jesus was crucified. That's the focal point that all of the Gospels lead us to. And his followers were scattered. And even after the resurrection, they were hiding. They were scared. They were nervous. And now as we find the life of these believers after the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit and being guided by him, something is different. There's a little bit of boldness to them where there was fear earlier, and there's more that we find. And we can maybe be encouraged as we hear some of the descriptions of what that early time in the church was like, and be encouraged for what life in the church, in the reality of the resurrection, can be and often is in our life today. So it's an encouraging text for us to read. Acts 2:42 to 47 is our text. I'll invite you to stand as you are able. Acts 2:42 to 47, reading in Jesus' name. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, thank you for this word to us, this encouraging account of what the impact of Jesus' resurrection and the preaching of that to the people and the faith that you brought, the impact that that had on that early church. And I thank you that you, 2,000 years later, you continue to work in your church in many places around the world, including here among us. And I ask that this text, what we read, would be an encouragement to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and I'll invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front here. right? Come on up. We got how many more? We got a few more coming up there. Here. All right. Ooh, come on up. We got a few more. All right. There's a few more seats over here. A couple more over here. All right. Okay. All right. We got, oh, still a few more coming. All right. Good. What's that? You like your seat? Oh, yeah. It's more of a cushion there, right? You're on top of an extra cushion on the seat. Well, have you guys ever tried to do something hard that maybe you need a little bit of help for? I want to see if I can have one of the littlest ones here would like to volunteer to help me with something. Maybe Abby's the littlest. Abby, do you want to help me out? You want to help me? We'll see. Okay. I've got this stool back here. I'll bring this over here. All right. You want to try and help me out? Do you want to see if you can lift this up? Can you lift it? Can you? You don't want to try. Let's see. You want to try? Let's see. Can you do it? Oh, you can lift it. Okay. I think. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, Abby, can you do it with help? Can you lift it? Can you lift it? No? You're a little bit nervous. You want to try it? Oh, with help? You certainly can. Yeah. Good. All right. Okay, thank you guys for those. You can sit back down again. You want to try it by yourself? Okay, let's give one shot. See if you can do it by yourself. Oh, see, as you get bigger, you can do it by yourself, can't you? Do you want to try it too? All right. Well, I don't know if everybody wants a shot at it. Okay, let's let Jude give a shot at it here, okay? I was just stabilizing it. I wasn't helping you. Yeah. All right, you got it. You got it. Yep, okay. Yeah, there. You got it? Okay. Oh, you got it up high. Okay, thank you. All right, you can go back and sit down. All right. Well, now some of you could lift that by yourself. Oh, it's okay. That's all right. Yeah, she can stay there. Some of you guys could lift that one by yourself. Do you think there are some things that you couldn't lift by yourself that are maybe a little bit too big to lift? Do you think there, if it was a bigger one, the cross up there, yeah, that would be... You'd not be able to lift that by yourself. You either? Anybody here be able to, would any of you be able to lift the cross by yourself? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. The ones who always raise their hand could do it by themselves. That's good. All right, you think so? Five people could do it? Yeah. Some things we can do by ourselves. A lot of things we probably need help to do, right? Even a lot of the things we do every day, like, can any of you make your breakfast? You know, just pour some cereal in and pour some milk on it, right? But did you actually make that cereal, or did you go to the store and buy it? And somebody else had? Your mom went to the store. Yeah, it's helpful to have a mom, isn't it, that goes to the store and gets you things? Yeah, there are a lot of things that we need help for. And a lot of things we do together with others. And sometimes what is very helpful is that God brings us together and God is with us. And we do things with God, and even though we can't see Him, He's helping us out, isn't He? Are you thinking of something else you do? You can crack the eggs? Cut them? Oh, with a sharp knife? You can do that? Wow, that's kind of fun when you get to those things. Yeah. We can? Well, that's true. If we die and we go to heaven, then we can see Him, can't we? That would be great. That might be true. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for coming up. I'm wondering if I may not quite have enough for everyone. Maybe one or two of the biggest ones could leave them for the younger ones. Yeah, we'll have eternal life. We believe in God, won't we? That's great to know, isn't it? And the earth will be new. Great. You know what? We're getting multiple lessons here this morning. I love it. All right. Okay, you can hand some out today. I know you want to hand some out there. Okay. Would you like to hand some out? One of you guys? Here, you want to do those? No? Okay, you guys don't want to hand them out. I'll bring them over here to somebody who does. Huh? Here, do you want to hand them out? Oh, you guys can help out together. Okay, thanks for coming up. You guys can go. All right. Ooh, a crash on the way back. All right, I'll move my foot out of the way so nobody else trips over it either. So. All right. Well, A few weeks ago, in the badlands of South Dakota, I started heading down a narrow canyon. I was with a group. There were 10 of us in the group, and we had hiked 5 miles, kind of across some level area, and to get to some mountains. You know, they were low hills, but very sharp ascent up to them. There's a plateau at the top of one. We wanted to get up there. So we get to this area. We'd been camping the night before nearby, but we hiked this 5 miles to get over there, and then we stopped, took a little break, and then a few of us were going to explore around some of these little canyon areas to see if there was a spot to get up. Well, a few of the group had gone up in this direction, and John and Jonah had gone down in this direction, and they were just gone about a minute. And I thought, all right, I'll go down and follow them and see, catch up to them and join them in where they're hiking. And I walked down this canyon, and I looked around, and I'm like, no sign of them. I yell out, Jonah, John, no sign of them. And so I walked down, and there's probably 3 different choices where I could go. And so I go down one, and like, oh, I can't see them there, and went down another one a little ways, and I did eventually, after a while, see them way up high. Up, they had found some way up there. But as I got into that canyon a little farther, I realized, now, I wasn't very far from people that I knew, but in a way, I was all alone. I was isolated. The nice thing about being in that position, though, for me, is I was the only one of the group that actually had a satellite transmitter, little tracker thing. So I could actually send a message out if I needed to, so if I was really lost. But I was all by myself. I was isolated. There are a lot of times in life where we might find ourselves isolated in some way. Maybe not in a canyon all by yourself. But maybe there's a way where we feel isolated. Some of those are obvious, and some of them are not so obvious. Over 20 years ago, I walked into a mall in Billings, Montana, along with my sister and a friend of hers. She was in town visiting for a couple days, and we decided to just go walk through the mall and see what there was to see there, just for fun. A week earlier than this, I had been playing Ultimate Frisbee and broke my collarbone, ran into a guy, our shoulders collided, and he's about 80 pounds heavier than me, so my collarbone was the one that broke. And so I'm recovering from that, and the doctor said, you know, as soon as you feel like you can move around without a sling, you don't really need it. So I was not wearing that, and as we were walking along, I said something, and just making a little funny comment about something, maybe making fun of my sister a little bit in some way, and she kind of just playfully hit me on the shoulder, you know, oh, Danny, come on, you know, hit me on the shoulder, at, right there, the one where the collarbone had been broken, and so I said, ah, 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 and, you know, it really didn't hurt, but I really played it up so she would feel bad about it, and I said, no, just kidding, it didn't really hurt. But the point of this is that the injury itself was hidden. In fact, the doctor had said, you know, you might want to wear the sling, even if you don't need it, just so that others around you know that you've been injured, because it's not obvious on the outside that you have an injury there. And if somebody bumps you in a way that they're, you know, it might do some damage, you can wear that sling and they'll be a little more careful around you. And I think sometimes isolation that we find ourselves in, being alone, is sometimes like that. It might not be noticeable on the outside, unless there's maybe some sign of it. There might be sometimes you might be isolated emotionally, and unless your face shows that there's something going on, it doesn't show. You're by yourself. You really are by yourself. Nobody knows what's going on in there. That can happen sometimes. Isolation can really be like that sometimes. That's part of the reason why, in different cultures at different times, there was a way, we read this in the Bible, there was a time where people would wear clothing that was indicating mourning when somebody died for a month. They would wear that for a month, a time of mourning. And part of the reason for doing that is so that people would identify. This is a person who's going through a time of loss. Because otherwise, it might not be obvious on the outside. So people would know. But we don't have that particular practice ourselves. And many times, people are feeling isolated in different ways. And it's not even obvious. It could be a loss of something, a person. Could be a pain of being hurt in some way. It could be questions of things that are going on in life. Things you see going on in the world, and you're not really sure where to go. If there's no one to take those questions to, there might be some insecurity of different things that are going on. Some of those things might be obvious to people. If somebody's really isolated, they might be spending time on their own and never interacting with others. They might be somebody that you say, they've kind of disappeared. You know, we used to see them all the time, and we don't see them anymore. They kind of disappeared. And that's a type of isolation that's more obvious. You see, oh, this person is just off on their own. But other times, it can simply be hidden. Even with other people around, someone may feel isolated. Sometimes, we cause this isolation on our own. If we read back to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, the whole thing about when they ate the fruit, they felt isolated, or they felt like they needed to isolate themselves. They tried to cover themselves. They tried hiding from God. In a broken world that we live in, isolation can happen in many, many different ways, and the broken nature of our world causes it to happen. As we find this summary of life in the early church, we find something different. We find a response to isolation. And it happens, the response is not necessarily in what we read, but it's in what is the cause for how people were behaving in what we read. We find the people together. Together, where there used to be isolation, all the apostles were, the Jesus followers were scattered when he was crucified. Even though they were together after the resurrection, they were in many ways in hiding. They were nervous. They were isolated from those outside. As we find this turnaround from being isolated to being in the public, being together, talking to others about what had happened to Jesus and what had happened to them, what are some of the examples that we see then to things that God was producing in them? What are some of the actions that we see? We see them devoted to something. What are they devoted to? We find themselves devoted to the apostles' teaching. One of the ways that we might find isolation in our lives is in an isolation of purpose or reality or the ideas of this world. When we find ourselves bombarded with ideas from all around us, things, ideas about reality, about what is truth, these things come at us, and if we don't have something supporting us in what is true, these things can get to us. We might be drawn away into something that we shouldn't, but we also might feel isolated as we want to hang on to what is true, and it's difficult. Some say one thing, others say another thing. How do we know what is real? And it can be very, very isolating as we differ from those around us, possibly. The early church was together in many different ways. And first we find them together around what? Well, first of all, devoted to the apostles' teaching, as I mentioned. Also, we have descriptions of prayer, of praising God, of gathering in the temple, together around the things of God. This is different than some of the other ways that people might get together. There are a lot of ways that they were getting together, that we get together, around just the other things in life. But this is the foundation of those things in a way that is helpful in building us up in our worship of God in light of the resurrection. There is a place where we worship God together. We're glad to have this place that we can do that. Gather together, worship God, hear from His Word. And of course, the reality of what we do, gathering together, the way that it brings us together, is founded on the resurrection, the truth of that event, that there is new life, that there is forgiveness of sins, that there is renewal with Jesus, restoration in a relationship with God. There are other questions in life. We come across many of them, but they're all connected back to that. If we come back to that source, to the teaching that the apostles taught about Jesus and what he did and what his death and resurrection mean, we are grounded in something that will then impact the rest of our lives. Jesus died for me. He rose again for me. You can say that as well. He died for you. He rose again for you. And just that in itself brings us together. First, it brings us together with God. Whereas in our sin and rebellion, we are isolated from God. This brings us together with Him. No more hiding. We don't have to hide from Him. And because we don't have to hide from God, we can come together as well. Even with our flaws, we don't have to worry about that. We can come together with our flaws, recognizing that there is forgiveness in Jesus. We can be together. We can be together without shame. Together. Now, we might need correction. I think we probably all do from God's Word in many ways. We might need repentance. And as we come together, we are reminded that these things, forgiveness, as we repent, it's ready. It's ready there for us. Coming together reminds us of that. There's a description of them coming together every day, day after day in the temple courts, taking advantage of the blessing of worshiping God in that location. We might not get together every day, together worshiping God and praising Him and hearing from His Word together in a group like this, but we can ask ourselves, what are the ways that we are taking advantage of the blessing of being together around God's Word, of hearing from Him, the ways that we can do that together in a group that we might not be able to do on our own? Because we do it on our own as well. We can read God's Word, we can be there. But together has such advantage to us. Together. Fellowship is talked about here. Breaking of bread, eating together with glad and sincere hearts. Breaking of bread, you know, it tells us about food. When we think about food. Now, this is stated twice, the breaking of bread, breaking bread together, and either one or both of those times might include communion. Maybe that's the primary focus, or maybe it's just one of the ideas that's being communicated here, that the early church was gathering together for communion, receiving Jesus' body and blood, taken together as an act of communion, together. It brings us together. As Jesus' body and blood we receive, we also become and are a part of Jesus' body, the body of believers, together. Communion unites those who partake together. Not just a social club in some way, but a gathering together around Jesus and what He has done for us. We find also in this, beyond communion, we find also meals, just simple meals. Food. Often, there are those who will say that a lot of what we do together is easily and often done around food. We all eat every day, and so that's a natural way to do something together, to eat meals together. If we do that as a family, it brings us together. We can eat meals as a family together, some of them. If we gather together as a family of believers, as church, it brings us together. We enjoy having the time after worship to get some coffee, sometimes some donuts or something else too. You know, eating that, drinking some coffee, having some time together brings us together. Sometimes we have a potluck or we have the pizza oven out here. We have the pizza nights. It's a wonderful way to come together. Recently we had that brainstorming session. What are some ideas of things that we can do? And one of the ideas that came up there was, hey, back a ways back, we did these dinners for six and maybe had a meal at somebody's house, and maybe it's somebody that we know already, but maybe it's somebody, you know, it's nice when it's somebody that we don't know as well. And we get together with just a few people, and it's a great way to come together. And you're around a meal, and, you know, everybody needs to eat, you know that. You can enjoy the food together, and you can get to know one another. It brings us together. Even more informally, many of you probably do this. Invite somebody over to your house for a meal. Invite a group over. Hang out together. Maybe go out to a restaurant together and enjoy a meal together. Some of those are regular times that you have with close friends that you enjoy. Maybe it's sometimes with new acquaintances as well that you say, hey, I want to get to know this person here from church a little bit better. Let's do that. A meal is a great way to do that. Connects us together. I was wondering, maybe that's something we can do for prayer buddies as well. You've got a prayer buddy. That can be a nice way to connect with the child that you're praying for. Maybe with their family or together. You know, some have done that as well. Get together. Now, some of us like larger groups and hanging out in big groups, and you have a lot of fun. There's a lot of noise. There are others that prefer maybe just one or two people. Keep the noise away. I'd rather just a nice, quiet conversation together. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter which one is our preference. There's blessing in both of them. Maybe some of you are like me. You don't mind either one of those. Big party? Great. Let's do it. Small conversation where you get to get into things a little bit more? That's great too. They're just different ways that we get to be together, be united in a way that the Holy Spirit unites us together. When people are isolated, especially if there are things that are going on in life that are kind of isolating, maybe feeling like nobody understands what I'm going through right now, being with others can be a way to help that. Just being with somebody else and sharing what's going on a lot of times can just let a weight off our shoulders and that what's weighing us down. Just getting together in that, knowing that somebody can listen to us, it helps bring us out of isolation. What about this other part, the middle of the text? It's a kind of an interesting one. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. Well, first of all, there's some miracles and things going on there that we don't see every day here. But all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who was in need or who had need. Now, we might ask the question, was this, communism where people sell everything and they're just living in one place, everything sharing, everything in common ownership? Well, later events in Acts tell us that, no, that isn't really what they were doing. Instead, it was more like people living not in a commune, but in community. In community, where they were interacting on a regular basis with other people that were of like mind, those who were trusting in Jesus' resurrection for new life. They didn't have joint ownership, but they didn't hold on to things as if those things belonged just to them. Things were available. There was a way of charitable giving to those who were in need that came from time to time through the selling of property. If there was big need, someone would sell a piece of property or something else and give the proceeds to be able to help those who were in need. The effect of all of this is amazing in the community around them. The apostles, as I said, were also doing miracles, and everybody was filled with awe as they were together, as the followers of Jesus, those who were believers, who were coming to faith, were spending life together, united on a regular basis in presence and in action. People noticed. People noticed what they were doing. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Continuing to bring people out of isolation in whatever form that isolation found them. They were seeing what was happening among the believers. They were hearing the message of the gospel of Jesus, and they were coming together to join that gathering. As we think about these different ways that God was working in that early church, we find those different ways that God works in our church today. And we might ask a prayer for Him to work through us as we receive, that we also give. And look for those ways that we can serve one another and those outside as well. You might also ask the question, where do you feel isolated right now? Is there a way that you feel isolated? Maybe it's an obvious way. Maybe it's something that's forcing you to be isolated in a way. Maybe it's a limitation physically that doesn't allow you to be together with people in the way that you would like. Maybe there's something else. Maybe it's hidden. Maybe, in a sense, if you had a sling like I did for my, broken collarbone, if you had that sling, maybe there's something that would be helpful to let people know, hey, I'm feeling a little isolated right now. Now, I don't know if we have to have label, name tag. I'm feeling isolated. We might not do that. But are there ways that we can be on the lookout for one another? How do we feel isolated? How do you feel isolated? Where might others around you be feeling isolated? Maybe those in our church family. Maybe those in other contexts of life. As we receive the benefit of being together, it's great to be on the lookout for others who might not have that. When we find isolation, we find that as we hear God's word and we see the work of His Jesus' resurrection and what that does in our lives, God works to bring us together out of isolation with others. Jesus' death and resurrection makes possible reunion with God, and then as a second effect of that, reunion with one another, being together. And we're invited to celebrate that with God, with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the way that you bring us out of isolation. Maybe it's simply the sin and rebellion that we have in our hearts that can isolate us from others. We maybe don't want others to know what's going on inside of us sometimes, but you know. And we thank you that through Jesus and what He has done for us, everything is forgiven. And we can come to you. And we can boldly and confidently join together with others because we know we don't need to hide. We can be together. We can receive forgiveness. We can encourage one another. We thank you for the many ways that that happens already within this congregation and in other contexts as well. And we ask that you would continue to work. Give us eyes to see those who need to hear, who are isolated or feeling isolated and need to hear and feel your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.